Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast, where we bring you inspiring guest stories on leadership topics by sharing information, tips, and more. My name is Tara Lehman, and I am a partner coaching consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. Leaders, we are here to support you with tools, coaching, workshops, and information through our leadership services. To learn more about our Amplifying Leadership division and our community, please visit amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Karen Laus. Karen is a speaker, communications expert, and confidence cultivator. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you.
So why don't we start with letting our audience know a little bit about you and your journey into leadership?
Sure. Well, it started when I was 6 years old. We go way back. But yeah. There was a significant moment. My dad loved negotiating, and he was really good at asking for what he wanted. And so I remember at a flea market, he gave me a few dollars and he said, go have fun, but never pay full price. There was no coaching. There was nothing. It was just, here's some money. And I thought, oh my gosh, okay, I have to please my dad. So that was my first experience in realizing you didn't have to pay full price, or you could at least ask. And that is a quality that has made me successful throughout my career. I am not afraid to ask for what I want. Now, on the flip side, what's important to share, because this is also a big part of my journey, is that I grew up in a very traditional home where I'm the last of nine kids. My mom was a housewife. Yeah. And what I learned from her modeling in the home was that a woman didn't have a voice unless a man told her that he did. And that was really confusing to navigate because she was also a powerhouse in the community. He wouldn't let her work, but he would let her volunteer. And she was a leader in so many ways, had a very strong voice in the community. And so navigating that throughout my life was interesting. Mm-hmm. And why I bring that up is because there was a defining moment for me, in spite of traveling all over the world, speaking on all these big stages and being very confident in front of my clients. There were certain situations and people that I didn't feel comfortable in front of. And one of those in particular for 14 years was my boss. And I was sitting in a boardroom presenting in front of my peers and got totally tongue-tied.
Oh dear.
I know. And my boss actually had to shut down the meeting, but I didn't agree with what she had asked me to present, but I thought I couldn't question her because I was taught you don't question your boss. Well, she pulled me aside, and she was also my greatest cheerleader as well as challenger. She said, Karen, once again, you didn't trust your gut. You could have just said, I'm not sure why we were meeting on this in the first place. Let's table it, which is exactly what she did. And so this story was really the pivotal moment for me to figure out why I'm so concerned or was about people pleasing and trying to be perfect and all this fear around being judged if it wasn't exactly right. And so much of that really held me back for a number of years related to certain situations. And yet, I think all of us, no matter who's listening to this, we all have these things that we need to navigate from our past and the way that we were raised that contributes to how we make decisions. So lots of therapy, lots of personal growth helped me get past that. And once I realized how freeing it was, I said, I want to help other women do the same thing. So I left corporate 3 years ago in 2020 to focus on my mission to help women ask for what they want and get it.
I love that. That is an amazing story too, the conflict between what we know as our personal history or personal culture or values that we were brought up with to having someone now challenge you to challenge that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even with that boss, I think that's amazing. So when you think about your biggest challenge in your leadership story, would you say that was it? Like overcoming that, almost that, I'm going to call it almost a fear maybe, or imposter syndrome, you decide, but with regards to how you grew up compared to how you changed into leadership, or was there a different obstacle?
Well, it wasn't imposter syndrome. I'm really clear about that. I've always felt like I have a lot of amazing ideas. My fear, like I always felt like I belong here. That was part of my dad's training of ask for what you want. You can do anything.
That was amazing.
No matter what. Yeah. But the fear was that the root is, am I ever good enough?
Yeah.
I grew up with, my mom was an absolute perfectionist. I mean, this was back in the days when with typewriters, you know, she would type out our papers in high school. And even if she typed the entire thing and made a mistake in the last line, she wouldn't use whiteout. She would rip up the page and do it all over again.
Wow.
And, you know, things like that. And she did beautiful calligraphy for our church growing up and made these big posters. And again, if she made one mistake, she would do the whole thing over and these would take her hours. And so there's that I was contending with that, oh, well, if it's not perfect, then it's unacceptable. And then my dad was fairly critical in general. So when you put that combination together, yeah, you feel like you can't ever make a mistake. So I would say the common thread throughout my leadership journey was, if I say something the wrong way, that's unacceptable. So it's probably better to not say anything at all. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting about that is, on the flip side, I felt that I had great value and had no problem speaking up when I knew that I was offering something of value, like producing something.
Right.
But and that's how I grew up again. It's what you produce is the value, not just who you are. And if, it's funny because I had a very pivotal moment with my now husband from years back when I remember coming, I don't know, we had a date that night or something. And I was telling him about all the great things I had done at work that day. And he said to me, you know, I love that you love your work, but that's not why I love you. Do you know that? It was one of those moments of, really? And that was a very powerful moment about that, to realize that every one of us holds value regardless of what we do in the world. Like, we're enough just as who we are. So those were some things that I had to contend with, especially in front of people that frankly reminded me of my dad. And that's what I realized many years later, that that boss of mine was very similar to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
She would often miss ideas I had, even though she was telling me to speak more. So
yeah, and it's interesting that you talk a little bit about that whole perfectionist idea, because a lot of people feel they need to be perfect. And I always like to set people straight. Perfect doesn't really exist, because we always are continually improving, right?
It's really a fallacy. Yes.
It really is. And I think that's something that we need to talk more and more about, leaders, is that our employees don't need to be perfect. Let's learn from what went wrong, or the mistakes, or how we feel, and grow because of it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely true.
I want to refocus here on something I know you like to talk about, which is how people can use their voice in the boardroom. And I'm thinking about that with new leaders. You know, how can new leaders who maybe were, you know, a little bit fearful or get tongue-tied, how do they actually use their voice in the boardroom to be effectively heard and to be able to effectively communicate?
One of the ways that's the most powerful, but most people don't like to do it, is to record yourself and watch it back. Practice first, of course, with the content. What is it that you want to say? And then record it. And if it's too scary to start with video, then start with audio. But what I find kind of comical is, a lot of people will say, and this is not the comical part, many people say, I hate the sound of my voice, or I don't like the sound of my voice when I hear it outside of my head. And yet the only person in your head is you.
Yeah, it's true.
You might as well see and hear how other people are experiencing you. And then you can decide what's working and what do I want to change? So those are a couple of foundational things first to recognize. When you're actually in the boardroom, I would highly recommend that you first, well, this is a little bit of prep, and then I'll tell you what I would suggest in the boardroom. But having some sentence prompts for yourself, especially if you're getting nervous or something, what could you have as a prompt to start a sentence? So one of my favorites that I taught myself and now teach others is to say, here's my vote. And why I find this, I find it really helpful, because as I was dipping my toe in the water of speaking up more in some of these situations that I used to feel awkward around, I realized, and it was actually a pivotal moment again, where my boss said to me, you always come to meetings and with the research and the information and say, what do you all think? And she said one day, I want to know what you think. Mm. And it really put me on the spot and I wasn't sure what to say, but it helped me to say, here's my vote, because it's diplomatic, but it's also direct. And it feels more collaborative than saying, this is what we should do, or this is what I think we should do. But somehow saying, here's my vote, that was, and I'd say different versions now. I'm a lot more comfortable than I was before.
Yeah.
But as somebody starting out, feeling like I want to insert my opinion, but I don't know exactly how to do it, that can be a wonderful and very diplomatic way.
I love that, actually. I think that's a great way, because we all have our own opinions. And sometimes in that team or in that boardroom, we're afraid to voice them.
Yes.
But I think that's a great way of doing it. And it's that little bit of, you feel a little bit more comfortable because you're going to say, like, this is my personal opinion, but this is what I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay. Yeah.
So I want to come back to something you touched on, which is about listening to yourself or watching yourself practice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that I used to talk about was the fact that we don't see our faces as leaders. The people see us. So, you know, grab a mirror, put your angry face on when you're yelling to somebody and and see yourself so that you can truly understand who you are if you're that type of leader, and that you can then begin to understand what they see of you. So I love that you mentioned that. So yeah. As a speaker yourself, have you done that?
Oh, yeah. For 25 years, I've always recorded myself. And that's how I teach people as well. That's the foundation of my business is video, because yeah. There is nothing like video to see how you come across objectively.
I agree.
I would definitely recommend video over the mirror, because the mirror mm-hmm. is in real time, even though that is better than nothing. There's something about the video where you do it and then you sit back and you watch it. And being able to see also the unmirrored vision of yourself, like we all have our option on our phone and on Zoom, but that's how we see ourselves in the mirror, but that's not actually how people see us. It's the inverted, our faces, but that's getting a little more technical. But bottom line, absolutely, because we've got to look and see, how is my eye contact? How are my hand gestures and facial expressions and voice? Making mm-hmm. sure we have vocal variety and we're not monotone, because there's usually a very big disparity gap between how we think we're coming across and how we actually are coming across.
Yes.
So that's what I see a lot, similar to what you said. And I know you're working a lot with young leaders as well. And you can see that's really important to start that when you're younger in your journey, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
And yet I have been amazed at how many people, because I would say the average age of the people I work with is probably 45, 40 to 50, somewhere in there.
Okay.
And people will say, I wish I had done this sooner in my career.
Yeah.
I would have been so much further ahead, because that self-awareness is critical.
It's huge. It really is huge, because if we come across the wrong way as a leader, you lose those people who are going to help build what you're trying to build or change cultures or whatever things are going on. So mm-hmm. yeah, I think it's huge is that you are aware of how you come across other people. And mm-hmm. if you're not happy with that, there's always room to improve. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and the other thing that most people are surprised by is their strengths, because we are so wired to be our own worst critics. So that moment of time when a client that I record, or between the time they've recorded and then we're going to watch it back, is that awkward space of, oh, it's going to look terrible. I'm going to be awful. And I always tell people, I almost force people to say, you have to look for the good first.
Yeah.
Because we'll immediately say, oh my gosh, look at my eyes, look at my face, look at my, this. So that's a really good tip for everybody listening too. When you do this, record yourself, listen back, watch it back, and notice, First, I suggest watching it objectively. What is this person doing well? What could they do better? But start with what they're doing well.
I 100% agree. I always like to start with the positive of any situation because it sets a better tone for
yes.
maybe the video you're watching, or if you're having a disciplinary action or whatever that might be. As leaders, it can set the tone if we come across positive first of something that's right. going well. Yeah, absolutely. So now I would love to talk about your 9 words to avoid when communicating. So
yeah.
Why don't you let us know what they are and why you think these 9 words are something we should actually avoid?
Sure. Well, you can find the whole set on my website at KarenLaus.com, but I'll give you a couple of tips from them. 2 of them in particular, I'll use in one sentence because it's easy to demonstrate this. Avoiding the word just and little in certain contexts is what I would suggest. So for example, sometimes we'll say, I just want to share a little tip with you. And often we will even shroud or lean in, not in a good way. We'll hunch our shoulders almost like, oh, I'm not really worthy of saying this, but I just want to share a little tip. We make ourselves smaller, basically, physically. So instead say, I want to share a tip with you.
It's I like a lot. That. It sounds different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm clearly saying it a little bit differently as well in my voice, but there's something where you almost feel more confident when eliminating those modifier words. Similarly, kinda, sorta, we tend to use those in our vocabulary. And I would suggest you think about every word as, first of all, every word has a job. And if every word cost you $20, what would you use? Because just and little, taking those out in that context doesn't change the meaning. In fact, it makes it stronger. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Mark Twain used to say, I would have written a shorter letter if only I had had more time. It is very challenging to really be succinct. It's so much easier to say a lot more words, and then we can tend to have our audiences tune out. So those are a couple of examples. And then another one is to stop apologizing all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
It's amazing how often we do that. So I would suggest 2 replacement phrases. 1, train yourself to say, excuse me, instead, because if you're at the grocery store, for example, and you bump into somebody, excuse me would be an appropriate thing. You don't need to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
In that case. But also, let's say in a business context, thank you for understanding would be a really appropriate one. Or I appreciate your patience. Instead of, you know, I find people tend to apologize in email when they haven't responded to something that's longer than maybe a few hours. Like, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. And I'm thinking, who started this awful trend of having everything to be instant and immediate? We feel like we have to apologize if we don't get back to people. But I have found that when you set boundaries that and on your time, you don't want to be at the whim of everybody else, and you're going to lose yourself. So that's a whole other thing that I continue to still learn today.
Yeah. Those are great. And I think when you're just even using the word just and little, how much more confident you sound.
Yes.
Right? From I just have a little tip makes you sound a little bit scared or something. Or if you just say, I have a tip for you, you know, take it or leave it. I think that just sounds so much more confident as a leader saying something like that. So I love that you mentioned that.
Well, another one is the made me think of, can I ask a question? Well, you just did.
Yeah, that's a good one too. So true. And the apology thing, there are some people who will apologize for something that is nothing to do with either party.
Right.
It's not your fault that it's raining today. I know. Like you can, that's out of your control. And I also want to touch base on something too that you mentioned, which is that whole need to reply to email right away.
Well,
we live off of email in some companies. It's just like, how come she hasn't responded? It's been an hour. What's going on? I need to call her or whatever, right? Where I think we really need to put that into perspective. If it's urgent, truly urgent, pick up the phone or walk over, right? But an email is when, you know, I used to set times to read my email once in the morning, once after lunch, and once at the end of the day.
That's great.
If I had time, then maybe in between, but I would do the bulk pieces at that time because I have stuff I need to do. And all an email is interruptive.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Oh, that's good. That's a quote.
Yes, exactly. So I love that you had mentioned that as well. We live in an instant world, but let's start to build where we need to with our teams and our businesses and our cultures. And let the emails lie until like a specific time when you can, dedicate to it, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I love that. So are there any words that we should use more often? I mean, we talk about those ones that we should be avoiding. And I love that you have that PDF available to our listeners. So what are those words, a few maybe, that you think we should use more often that maybe some leaders are lacking? Is there anything you can think of?
Yeah, what I would suggest is a question. It's one of my favorites. I don't have any words that come to mind of, oh, use this. It is funny. Most of it is avoiding words that you say a lot and, or pausing instead for those filler phrases. But I think about a very powerful, actually, I'm going to share three powerful questions. And one is, how does that land for you? This is one of the best things to say when you're negotiating or you are delivering information, as opposed to continuing on and on. Stop, pause, and ask a question to see how it's landing. Because as a leader, you might have this great idea that you think is going to work great for this person. And yet giving them space to respond to what you're saying can enable you to completely pivot if you had to, because maybe they think it's actually landing, or I think I'd rather do this versus this. Now, obviously it depends if you're in front of a client or if it's a direct report. There's so many different options that we're talking about here, but that question I find is really powerful. The other one that I would suggest is, everybody calls it a question, even though it's technically not, but tell me more. That is one of the most powerful things that we can ask someone, and then stop long enough to listen, for sure.
And I think that goes along with the coaching aspect of coaching your employees, because those are things that we use to dig a little bit deeper into things, is the tell me more type thing, we're asking those powerful questions. And I think coaching is an integral part of leadership, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's so important to do that. I'll say one other that's my favorite too.
Yeah.
These are all my favorite. These are my
top
three. Anything else? That is such a great thing to ask at the end of a conversation. And when people ask that question, that often brings up a whole can of worms that maybe weren't there but not in a bad way, in a way that gives someone space to really voice their opinions, for sure.
And I think that's a good one too. If you have one of your team members who's a little shy, it may allow them to feel more comfortable to come out and confident to say something, because you're still listening. You haven't shut the conversation down, right? By adding that little powerful thing at the end.
Exactly. Exactly. And it gives that last moment of, okay, I gave you space.
Yeah.
This is your chance to take it.
What would you say, if you had to give a key takeaway to our group today or to our listeners with regards to those words that you're avoiding or things you should say or anything else that we talked about today, what would you say is the key takeaway you want them to use today?
Avoid upspeak at all costs. And this is a slang term for when we say a statement as a question mark or a comma. And it most of the time happens in our introduction. So I want to model this really briefly, because I realized I hadn't said this yet when we were talking about voice. So most people introduce themselves like this. Hi, I'm Karen Laus, and I'm originally from Minneapolis, but now I live in San Francisco. Versus, hi, I'm Karen Laus. I am originally from Minneapolis, but now I live in San Francisco. And you hear how different the second one sounds. And all I'm doing is punctuating. I am speaking with periods where they're appropriate. And yet when it's interesting, when we write an email, we don't think twice about punctuating. But when we speak, punctuation tends to go out the window. And we will come across a lot more credible, a lot more confident when we speak with that authority and that conviction. And all we're doing is punctuating the spoken word.
And using it properly.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. So that's one thing I would say, definitely remember to speak with that conviction. And the way you'll know is to record yourself.
I love it.
Most people can't hear the upspeak in themselves. Sometimes even when they listen back, they can't. So that's when I say, listen back without seeing yourself first, so you can hear the voice only. And that's more prominent where you're here if you put it on the upspeak. And I was in a speaker at a networking event a few weeks ago where there were 30 people. They all had 30 seconds to introduce themselves and their elevator pitch in the beginning. And I'm so glad that I told them all to record their pitches, because that's what I was going to be talking about. And none of them said their name with a period. None of them.
Really?
The one thing you should be mindful of and know and be confident in is your name.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, I think it would be interesting if they recorded themselves saying it and recorded themselves reading the exact same thing. Because they could probably hear it differently. Yeah.
Yes. And that's exactly what I tell my clients as far as an exercise to know how you sound without upspeak is to read something. Exactly.
Yeah, I love it. What a great key takeaway today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So Karen, if our audience wants to learn more about you or what you do, is there a way they can find you online?
Yes, KarenLouse.com is my website, and you can find me in all the places. I am on Instagram every day, so that's a great place to find me with lots of video clips that are short. I have a YouTube channel, a podcast, a book, a lot of different things, but you can find it all on my website. So thanks so much, Tara.
And just so our audience know, her last name is L-A-O-S for Louse. Thank you so much, Karen, for joining us today and for sharing some amazing tips.
You're welcome. Great to be here.
A thank you to our audience as well. We hope that you were able to take a few tips away from Karen today on your leadership journey. If you are a leader or a leader-to-be who knows that leadership growth is key to your development, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, the Twin Life Coaching and Business Services Division. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leader-to-be.